Here's a phone interview I did with the well-known sculptor Joel Shapiro on the eve of his show at Paula Cooper Gallery. This is Noah Becker. You're listening to the White Hot Magazine Art World Podcast. It's my birthday today. Enjoy. All right, so I did read something about you. You had some time in India, and you found some inspiration in India. Is some of that inspiration still carrying through into the show at Paula Cooper, or is this a different thing?
Well, actually, you know, I never think about it, but you know, everything you're exposed to enters into the work. In the little room at Paula's, the back room, you know, I thought I was sort of... I had those two, one iron casting and one bronze casting. And they were kind of creepy. I mean, one was, you know, clearly kind of, the iron one was very figurative and very morbid and kind of sad, but beautiful. And then I had this other pile of corpses all glued together, you know, and I cast that, and this, you know, I thought it looked like, I mean, that's the bronze, looked like a Shiva, Nataraj, looked like an Indian sculpture. So it was like this resurrection. So you had sort of, you know, destruction and this sort of celebration of life simultaneously. So now I may have seen that frame like that after the fact, based on my own experience of being in India, whether I would have recognized that. That's why I put it in the show. So you had a kind of descending moment, abstract moment with that wood piece, and then that sort of autopsy gurney, and then a sort of corpse, and then this sort of resurrection. Anyway, so yes, it absolutely affects how I see things.
So that was kind of like an epiphany that was, it was just...
You never know what, with those castings, because the direct castings, you know, I don't know what's going to come through and what won't come through. I mean, they're just sort of, they were, you know, studio mannequins that I sort of, one I boned up, and I sort of rearranged parts based on pins and hot glue, and then, particularly with the bronze one, there was more than one figure. Maybe it was two or three or four combined. And then I sort of edited out what I wanted. Or a lot of it fell out. Fell off. So there's, you know, element of chance.
Is your relationship to the figure mostly morbid, or does it vary? Is there a whole, do you have a whole different dialogue?
No, I don't think it's morbid at all. I mean, it rarely is. And even if it has a certain morbidity, you know, I always think they're lively. So, I mean, no, I'm not interested. In fact, if anything, I'm interested in, you know, the animate quality of work.
And the ink on paper pieces, is that something that you did recently? Are those new pieces?
I think, you know, I should have a list in front of me. I think that those are some drawings that I showed at the Nasher Museum, the Nasher Sculpture Center in Texas. That show is about 3 years. I think they're 3 and 4 years old. And I sort of picked, well, there were two extremes. I mean, some were kind of light and lively. I thought light and lively, and the other ones were much more, you know, deeper and more arresting.
And you just, you want them to kind of resonate off the sculptures?
Okay. Yeah, I think they're about the same thing, you know, just projecting stuff out into space.
Okay.
I mean, I don't sit around and draw sculpture.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't think of anything more boring.
So you don't actually, you put the sculptures together as maquettes in wood more than you do actually draw them.
Oh, yeah, I never draw a sculpture.
I see. That's interesting.
But I do think that the drawings anticipate sculpture, because there are things I'd like to do, but I don't have, you know, I don't have to deal with the logistics of building sculpture. So they do come, I mean, at times they a way of, you know, there's things that you can do, all things that are illusionistic that you can't do in sculpture. You have to build a goddamn thing.
Right. Right.
So it's, well, that sculpture was based on, yeah, at some point joining, I think I had three pieces that I joined up that engaged me, and then I put in a fourth because it needed a fourth to turn the piece back down. Mm-hmm. And also take its hard edge off, mm-hmm. kind of look like an axe, mm-hmm. which I didn't want it to look like.
Right.
You know, basically I'm trying to make, you know, lively form.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in a buoyant mood. Now, if I'm right. not, it can take a tough turn.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that you don't draw the sculptures, does that mean that when you position them, like some of the things are suspended, is it kind of an intuitive working with space, or do you plan out how they're going to be in space where you place them?
You're talking about the installation or the actual making of the work?
Well, the installation of the work.
Oh, well, the installation of the work is not capricious at all. I mean, you know, that's really kind of measured, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's instinctual. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like how I want to see the piece and
mm-hmm.
what's lacking and, you know, how to bounce scale around and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mean, the installation always has a kind of, you know, it sort of has a theatrical element, right? I mean, you sort of, how can you best perceive and bring out, elicit the most out of the work?
Mm-hmm.
But I think when I'm making the work, it's not pre-planned at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may have, you know, in this case with the blue piece, yeah, I've had a maquette of the piece that I worked on and looked at, and then I began to build it. You don't quite know what you're going to get, but, you know, you have some idea at some point.
Mm-hmm. What kind of blue is that?
It's a light ultramarine.
Mm-hmm. And what, ultramarine. Is it acrylic?
Is it what?
Acrylic, or what kind of paint?
No, it's casein.
Oh.
So, I said a mixed pigment with casein solution.
And does it take a lot of layers to get to that point? Or?
Well, this one particularly took a lot of layers. You know, the first layer is really easy because it gets sucked into the plywood. Mm-hmm. It's only made out of 3/8 ply.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get a lot of wood grain coming through, and it's quite beautiful. But the color, and I left one coat on for quite a while, and then I decided that it really needed a second coat, and then when you do the second coat, everything gets fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. Are you an artist or?
Yeah, I'm a painter. Yeah.
Okay, so you know that anyway. With casein in particular,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, the solution gets really absorbed by the first coat, or it picks up the first coat.
Right.
And so it doesn't go down as smooth, and it's, you know, it's sort of. When it's being absorbed, it's really easy.
Right.
And kind of even, and the second coat's more difficult. That's 3 coats, 3 to 4 coats, depending on the piece.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you know, sort of the casein started to build up. And I wasn't too happy with it. I mean, I had some doubts about the paint. But I think it was more the light in my studio.
Mm. I see.
You know, it seems some glaring hot spots, but all that's part of the wood. So wherever the wood is, you know, depending on the grain of the wood, it'll be in the plywood. You know, it takes paint differently.
Mm-hmm.